Who's here for the first time today? Welcome, 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 welcome. Nice to have you with us. This morning I want to speak to you on something that is very important. Well, let's just put it this way. Everything that comes from the Word of God is important, right? But this is something important for our lives. How many of you want to go somewhere in life? Okay? It doesn't matter whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. You still want to go somewhere in life. We all have to have vision. The Bible says, without vision, my people perish. Now, nobody wants to perish. The Afrikaanse word for perish is my volk gaan ten gronde. We go nowhere. So God wants us to have vision. We need to know where to go. Now, there are some things that you need in your life in order for your life to actually go forward. And today, the topic that I'm going to be speaking to you on is very important. I'm going to be speaking to you on faithfulness. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 18 says, "He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored." This proverb really speaks about the value of faithfulness. You see, here's the thing. We like to look at somebody else that is successful. And then we have this thing, okay, but what is that person doing for them to be successful? What is the thing that they have? You know, people are always looking for the secret. Somebody reaches a certain level. What's your secret? How do you do this? Well, many times it's not so much a secret as a lifestyle. That person has something in their life that they are doing correctly. They are living their life in accordance with the Word of God, and that means God has to honor them. And what we should be doing, even though I can't be you and you can't be me, there are certain things in his life that I could copy based on the Word of God. If he honors God, I should be honoring God. If he's obedient to God, I should be obedient to God. Amen? So, although there are many attributes that successful people may have, faithfulness is one of the most important ones. So I want to take a look at this verse quickly, as it gives us God's advice to becoming successful. Now, today we could have somebody like Bill Gates stand here and give you a whole big spiel on what is needed for you to become like him, and you would do well to listen because we can see that he's got somewhere in life. But today we got somebody much better talking to you about success. And that's God himself. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Nobody goes nowhere if God doesn't decide to bless you and take you there. So when God speaks about success, when God speaks about your life and coming to a place that your life amounts to something, you better open your ears and listen, because this is important stuff. If you look after a fig tree, now the verse says, "He who tends to a fig tree will eat its fruit." How many of you have ever seen a fig tree? Okay, they're not that popular in South Africa, but we do now and then encounter a fig tree. How many of you have ever had figs? Okay, they're very nice to eat. They are lovely to eat. And they are lovely in cooking, and they are lovely for preserves, etc., etc. And they have quite a bit of value. I mean, have you ever tried to buy figs? You go to Woolworths and you buy figs, you got to mortgage your house. It's like ridiculous, you know? Okay, so if you look after your fig tree, and if you take good care of it, then in turn, we know that it will reward you with fruit. Now, let's look at it from the point of view that you're a farmer. The better you look after your tree, the more fruit it is going to give you. The bigger the fruit will be. Imagine if they pay you per kilogram. 10 kilograms will never be worth as much as 50 tons. What would you like? If you want the 50 tons, you better look after your tree very, very carefully. If it needs something, you must give it. If it needs pruning, you must prune it. If it needs water or fertilizer, you must give it in season, and it will reward you with good fruit. Now, the purpose of this proverb is to encourage wise men and women to be diligent, to be faithful, and thereby reach the success that God has planned for all of us. The Bible teaches us that a wise and a faithful servant will often be promoted over a lazy and foolish son. If you had a nice business and you had a son that was sleeping till 10 o'clock and then he comes into work and he wants to sit and play games all the time and he's always telling everybody else what to do, but he never does nothing. But then you also have a servant, in other words, a normal person working there that's always on time, that always goes the extra mile, that is always smiling and happy, that is always doing their work, that blesses your company, which one would you need to promote? Well, if you promote your son, you need prayer because you're stupid. Because your son is going to run your company into the ground. But that worker that is faithful, that is proving him or herself to be faithful, is the one that you should promote, because thereby you ensure that your company is going to keep going forward. Proverbs 17 verse 2 says, a wise servant will rule over a disgraceful son and will share in the inheritance as one of the brothers. And that is very true. Because God will rather promote the servant who is showing to God that he is faithful than what God wants to promote the son who's proving in everything that he is not faithful. Faithful men, unfortunately, tend to be very scarce. Which is probably why so few people ever reach very high levels of success. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? If there's anybody here that owns a company, then you can relate to what I'm going to say to you now. When you employ somebody, they give you 100 reasons why you should employ them. I'm such a good worker. I've got such good skills with people. I've got expertise. I've got so many years of this. I can do this. I can do that. Then you employ them, and what happens? Nothing. You sit with a lazy bum that's very quick with his mouth, but he can't produce with his actions. And unfortunately, that's biblical, because even God, when he looks from heaven and he looks at mankind, he says, it's difficult to find a faithful man. Now, when God tells you it's difficult to find a faithful man, you must understand, it's difficult. It doesn't mean that it's impossible. And the reason we have to talk about these things is because God wants to speak to us about our life, about our character, about who we are. God didn't put you on this earth to be unfaithful. God didn't put you on this earth to be lazy. God put you on this earth to be faithful. God put you on this earth to make a difference. Psalm 12 verse 1 says, help, Lord, for the godly are no more, and the faithful have vanished from amongst men. I want to ask you a question. Why is South Africa in the dwang that we are in right now? Let's not even go to the government. Let's just say, because faithful men are no longer in the positions that they can be faithful and make a difference. Unfaithful people keep getting promoted into positions where they don't give a hoot about how things are, except feeding their own bellies. And we see it in this country everywhere. We have unfaithful people in positions where faithful people are needed, and the country is suffering. Don't think for one second that God is pleased with the way things are, because he's not. But you see, what we're going through now is not that strange, it's not that weird, because even in biblical days, the book of Psalms was probably written roughly 2000 BC, give or take. Now he says, yeah, help us, O Lord, for the godly are no more, and the faithful have vanished from amongst men. Can I tell you something about mankind that maybe you don't want to hear, but probably you should hear it? To be faithful takes work. To be lazy takes nothing. And mankind in his natural state wants to be lazy. We don't want to do things. We don't want to work hard. We don't want to persevere. We don't want to give more than what is necessary. I mean, let's look at sports. If the coach is happy with 20%, then I'll push my luck and give him 15%. And if he still doesn't complain, then that's what I'm happy to give. Let's look at the work. If the boss doesn't complain that I'm an hour late, probably tomorrow I'm going to be an hour and a half late. You will always push your luck. The difference between that and a faithful man is the faithful man is there 20 minutes before opening time. He makes a plan. He shows God, there is something about me that is different. A faithful man is somebody that the devil doesn't like. The devil likes the sluggard. The devil likes the lazy one. The devil likes the one that's always complaining and moaning and giving everybody problems. Satan doesn't like faithful men. Do you know why? Because faithful men bring the glory of God into an establishment, whether it be a family, or it be a business, or it be a school, or whatever. Because faithfulness comes from God. The more we are faithful, the more we are like God. The more we bring a godly atmosphere into the place where we are. If faithful men were scarce in biblical times, then my goodness, I want to tell you something. God needs to help us right now, because it's grown progressively worse over the years. We live in a time where most people are happy to do not just enough, less than enough, if they can get away with it. It's easy to take a look at how the world tolerates unfaithfulness and simply follow the trend. You know, when you speak to somebody about their unfaithfulness, the fact that they're late at work, the fact that they don't do their reports, the fact that they mess around, that they take too much lunchtime, it's like, but everybody does it. As if that makes it right. I don't even know what to say. Okay, so you know the old proverb, so if the one jumps in the fire, we're all going to jump in the fire. But that's actually what we're doing, because it's a sellout to the enemy. Let me teach you something about God. And if you came the beginning of this year, I've been speaking about this type of stuff because God spoke to me that it's time to speak about it. God sees everything. God knows everything. How many people do we have today whose lives amount to nothing? Who, when they look at their life, they're not happy with their circumstances. They're not happy with where things are. But when they examine their life, they will also find that they are totally unfaithful in a lot of ways. And I'm not talking about being faithful to your husband or your wife or that. This is a different kind of faithfulness we're talking about here. Although you should be, you understand. Now, how many people complain to God on a daily basis? Oh, you know what? I don't have this and I don't have that. And why can't I have this position? And why does that one and that one always get promoted? I want to tell you something. Because they got something inside their hearts that a lot of the people that complain a lot don't have. It's got character. Godly character, godly virtue, the ability to give more. Do you know a boss loves to have somebody working for them that you don't have to tell them what to do all the time? They just go ahead and they do it. Amen. Because they have faithfulness inside. And they are the ones that rise to the top and amount to something. The problem here is that if you do not tend or are faithful to your fig tree cannot produce fruit in your life. Now, some of you might be thinking, what the hell is he talking about? I don't even own a fig tree. You see, there's a metaphor going on here. God is speaking to us figuratively. Every one of you has a fig tree. Your fig tree could be your work. Your fig tree could be your school. Your fig tree could be your husband or your wife. Your fig tree could be your house. Your fig tree could be your car. How do you look after what God has put in your possession? That which is supposed to bless you. Are you looking after it? Are you tending it? Are you on time? Are you diligent? Do you give as much as you need to give? Do you complain all the time? Are you lazy? Because you see, whether you like it or not, in God's eyes right now, you are tending some kind of a fig tree somewhere. And some of us, we take a look at our fig tree and we complain, you give me no fruit. And if the fig tree could answer you today, it would say, you're not tending me very well. If you choose to be faithful, there will be an instant and a marked contrast between your commitment and your diligence versus other people's laziness. I've been a boss. There's a couple of people here that I know are bosses. And let me tell you something about a boss. A boss notices things even when sometimes you think they are asleep. You don't become a boss by being stupid. Let me help you to understand that. There's something inside of you. There's a drive inside of you. And you notice things. Now, if you're a boss, sometimes you notice everybody's lazy, but when that one begins to stand out, you also notice it. Okay, the one that stands out is not always very popular with the people around him. Because, oh no, no, you're going to make us look bad. But the boss notices it. Because you begin to stand out. If you begin to become faithful, your cheerfulness will be offset by other people's sullenness. Have you noticed when the boss says to certain people, go do something, it's like, or they'll immediately tell the boss, oh, this is not part of my job description. But the boss likes the one that doesn't complain, doesn't moan, doesn't talk back, just says, no problem, goes and gets the job done. Guess who's going to get somewhere when promotion gets handed around? The one with a long face gets nothing. Your punctuality, in other words, being on time, is important for the boss and it's important for God. Is going to stand out when the boss looks at you versus the people that are always 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes late. The boss will notice and God will notice the fact that you are careful when you work with your boss or your company or your school's things. Just as God notices when people have a don't care attitude, kick this, yeah, throw that there. Who sees? Nobody cares. God sees because he misses nothing. And on the other hand, your obedience will be immediately offset by other people's disobedience. You know, in a big company, sometimes people are asked to do something. The person's just like, so what? I don't have to do this. This is not for me. We sometimes think we can get away with it. I want to tell you something. Life has a way of coming back to you. What you sow, you will reap. What you do to others will tomorrow come back to you. Your fig tree might be your job. It could be your marriage. It could be your rugby team. It could be your coach. It could be your parents, your teachers. It could be your schoolwork. Success in any one of these areas is actually not as difficult as you might think. It could actually be quite easy, but you must first come to a place where you become faithful. Because God works with faithful people. God blesses faithful people. God doesn't bless those that are not faithful. I'm going to give you an illustration to bring the point home. There's this young boy who starts to work for a fast food restaurant. He has average abilities. There's nothing special about him. He's a bit scrawny. He's a bit skinny. He doesn't have the most pleasant face. He's got a stupid little hairstyle. But he fears God. And every morning when he gets to work, he sits and reads a bit of his Bible to inspire him and to show him what God wants him to do that day. He's always early for work. He's always spit and polished. And even though he has a bit of a weird hairstyle, the hair is always neat and tidy. And he's always ready to go. He's cheerful. He works hard. And when he works at a very fast pace. When the boss asks him to take this box from that store to that store, he grabs it and he goes. He doesn't first chat to this one and then chat to that one, then take a smoke break, then think about life. He gets busy. He gets the job done. He follows all the rules and he brings his own lunch. He never misses work. And he even finds something to do when things are quiet. He goes to the manager and he says, listen, yeah, there's not much happening right now. Do you have anything that you want me to do? Okay, fine, I'll do it quickly. He regularly does work outside of his scope of his position. In other words, when the boss comes and says, listen, yeah, I need you to go and sweep the backyard quickly. He's not like, oh, but I was hired only for this and this. No, fine, I'll do it. He never questions his boss. He's always friendly and he's always respectful. He helps out when others are sick, even if it means that he has to work a double shift. Now you see, when he began, they hired him at minimum wage. After 1 year, he was promoted to supervisor. After 2 years, he was promoted to assistant manager. After 3 years, he became the youngest manager in the chain's history. After 4 years, the store owner gave him 25% of the store's profit on top of his wages. And then the store owner retired. After 6 years, the store owner passed away and left to him the rest of the store. Today he owns 5 of his own stores and is planning his own retirement. You want to understand what faithfulness will do for you? This is what faithfulness will do for you. You see, faithfulness is doing the right thing whether somebody sees you or they don't see you. Faithfulness is going the extra mile, not because somebody tells you to do it, but because it is in your heart to do it. Because whatever you do today, you do for God first, not for man. Amen. Now, some people will say, oh, that's ridiculous. That'll never happen. Well, let me show you a couple of things from the Bible. We have a man by the name of Joseph. He didn't even earn minimum wage. He was a slave. He got nothing but whips. But after 13 years, he sat on a throne in one of the richest nations of the earth. Joseph tended to 3 different fig trees. The first one's name was Potiphar. We all know that when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, everything went like clockwork. Potiphar was blown away because he had never seen a man so faithful, so diligent, so true. And then from there he went to a prison, falsely accused. But in the prison, his character was so different. The man that he was, the godliness in him shone through to such an extent that everybody looked to him for wisdom and guidance. And the jailer began to see something different about him. And through the jailer, he was given an opportunity to move out of the prison. Then he went and he stood in Pharaoh's court. And Pharaoh began to realize that there was something different about this man. There was a wisdom in him that Pharaoh had never seen. There was a diligence in the way he did things. There was a faithfulness that was tangible. And you know what Pharaoh did? Something that no other king had probably ever done before and probably never will do again. He stepped off the throne and he said, you know what, me, I'm going to take a back seat, run my country. The slave ended at the top. Do you know why? Look at your neighbor and say, he was faithful. Then we find a man in the Bible by the name of Jacob. Jacob came to a point in his life where he decided to run away from home and all he took with him was his staff. 20 years later, he had 4 wives, he had 12 sons, and he was one of the wealthiest men in the known world. Jacob had found a fig tree by the name of Laban. And he started working for Laban because he saw a woman there that he thought, if I remember, her name was Rachel. He saw Rachel and he was like, ooh, I like her. That one, I want that one. Laban, being a very shrewd and crafty man, said, okay, fine. This is the way we do things here. You want my daughter, you got to work for me. For 7 years. In Afrikaans, ons het die skoot hoog deur gehad. He didn't even think. He was like, okay, fine, I'll work for you. So he worked for him for 7 years because he had this vision. This woman is going to be my bride. I'm going to have the most beautiful woman in the world by my side. And it doesn't matter how long I have to work. She's going to be mine. And in that time, do you know what he showed Laban? He was faithful. He was diligent. He was committed. And he gave sacrificially. Laban was a bit of a shady character. And he worked him with a plan. Because when the wedding night came, as things sometimes happen on a wedding night, Jacob had a bit too much to drink. There was a big party happening. And then when he went to go and be with his wife, he was so drunk he didn't know what was happening. And the next morning when he woke up, it was like, what? That wasn't Rachel. It was Leah, and apparently she was the ugly sister. Now, he could have told his father-in-law to get stuffed. And he could have used some choice words in doing so. But this was the character of Jacob. When he went to speak to his father-in-law said to him simply, listen, ya boy, I know you want that daughter, but it's not my custom to give my youngest daughter first. It is the custom to give the oldest daughter. You want the youngest daughter, work another 7 years. Did he complain? No. Did he moan? No. Did he sabotage his father-in-law's business? No. He remained faithful. He remained committed. He remained diligent. God blessed his socks off. Do you know that his father-in-law was going mad? Because no matter what the father-in-law did to go against Jacob, God turned it and it went against the father-in-law. Okay, I'm just sort of paraphrasing, yeah, but this is kind of like how it went. There would be an agreement between Jacob and the father-in-law. Okay, I'm working for you, so I'm entitled to a salary. This is going to be the salary. The father-in-law would say, okay, Jacob, from now on, all the brown animals are yours and the rest are mine. Do you know what God did? Suddenly, all the animals were brown. Then after 1 year, Laban looks at this thing. He's like, oh, this is not working. Okay, Jacob, come sit down. We're changing our agreement. I don't want you to have the brown cows anymore. I'm going to take all the brown ones. You can have all the gray ones. They're all gray. Laban is looking at this. He's thinking, I'm in the twilight zone. This is not normal. Okay, Jacob, come sit down. New agreement. You know, in the end, he told him he could have only the striped and spotted ones. Have you ever seen a striped and spotted cow? But apparently, according to the Bible, they were all striped and spotted. Because God blessed Jacob's faithfulness. I want to tell you something. When you are faithful, God works in your life. When you are faithful, God will bless you, even if the world doesn't want you to be blessed. And so in the end, Laban was the one that lost. But I want to teach you something from Jacob. And I'm speaking to everybody here. And I want you to listen. The flesh, the human part of us, sometimes we want to go and just knock the oak's block off. We want to clap him. We want to swear him broken. We want to sabotage his business because of the way that he treats us. Did Jacob do any of that? No. But he ended on top. The human way of doing things doesn't work with God. He's got a different way of doing things. And when you honor God and when you are faithful to God, God promotes you, not man. Amen? God promotes you. Then we have another guy. Elisha was a plowboy. And then one day Elijah came there and he called him and he said, come and work for me. Now, if you know the story, it's quite interesting because for the first, if I remember correctly, and I am speaking under correction, yeah, for the first 10 years, Elisha must have thought when Elijah called him that, oh, the prophet, the man of God has called me. I will turn into a prophet. He's going to teach me all these things. I'm going to learn to hear the voice of God. I'm going to see all these amazing miracles and signs and wonders. He saw nothing. All he did all day was clean the tent and fetch water. Clean the tent and fetch water. Now you must understand, when he got called for this position, he had a certain expectation in his heart. And year after year after year, nothing happened. I can tell you now, frustration must have knocked on his door how many times? The devil must have whispered in his ear so many times, listen, yeah, tell Elijah to jump in the lake. Go do something else. This is stupid. How can the man expect you to live your life that way? But now, yes, something about Elisha. He was a faithful man. Even though it wasn't what he expected, even though it wasn't what he wanted, he stayed true to his master. He stayed faithful as a servant. And when Elijah needed something, he was there to give it to him. And one day, God looked down. He had a smile on his face and he said, Elisha, I've watched you for 10 years. You did not grumble. You did not moan. You did not complain. You stayed faithful. I am going to bless you. Not with the same anointing that is on Elijah. In fact, I am going to grant you a double portion of the anointing that is upon Elijah. You know, people often come and they say, oh, pastor, pray for me. I want a double portion of the anointing. I wish it was that easy. Because it wasn't easy for Elisha to get the double portion. He had to remain faithful in difficult circumstances. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of people in this world that have a great calling from God. But nobody that has a great calling from God is going to find it easy. Because God will test your character. God wants to see whether you've got what it takes. They say when the going get tough, the tough get going. Now, there's two ways of looking at that. The tough could be running away. No, you have to get going with what God's called you for. And I want to tell you something. Nothing in life that's worthwhile is going to come easy. Because life is not easy. If I stand here and I tell you that alles is net maanskyn en rose, everything is just wonderful, it's a bed of roses, I'm lying to you, because go read your Bible. Jesus was the Son of God, but he was crucified. Paul was a man of God, but he had a tough life. Peter was a man of God. He walked on water. His shadow fell on people and they got healed. Yet he had a tough life. Hello? It's not always going to be easy. But it's in the difficult moments that God can see whether you've got character or not. It's in the difficult moments that God can see what your heart is really made of. You can tell me all sorts of nice things about yourself. Let the pawpaw hit the fan, and then your body language and what comes out of your mouth will show me who you are. Whether you like it or not, it's true. And that's when a lot of people miss out on what God has planned for them. Because God is looking for faithful men and women. There was a man by the name of Meyer Anschel Rothschild, and that surname should speak to you, who was born in a ghetto in Frankfurt in 1744. A ghetto is kind of like a slum. It's a squatter camp. He had one opportunity only. He had the opportunity to go and work for Prince Wilhelm IX of Hesse, whom he served faithfully for many years. Because of the good relationship that there was between Prince Wilhelm and Rothschild, when Rothschild had an opportunity, Wilhelm borrowed him a large sum of money to start something for his children. Now you must understand something. No boss just borrows millions to a worker unless there's something special in their relationship. Prince Wilhelm loaned Rothschild the money that would later become the family's fortune. Rothschild sent his five sons to the greatest cities of Europe, resulting in the most powerful banking and financial dynasty in modern history. And I want to shock you now, because Rothschild was not a believing man. You hear that? He was not a believer. But, and there's a very big but, he followed and applied godly wisdom by finding a fig tree in Prince Wilhelm, tending to that fig tree, being faithful to that fig tree, and he was given much good fruit. This world is full of people who want to be successful. Yet there are not that many people who are willing to be faithful. Listen to that. If you ask in a crowd of people, how many of you want to be successful one day? I don't think anybody will fail to raise their hands, because that's just the way we are. We want to be successful. But when we ask the question, how many of you are willing to be faithful in difficult circumstances? The hands are going to start going down. Because that's not what we want. And it doesn't work that way. It is faithful diligence that brings honor. It is waiting on and serving your master that brings promotion. We should spend less time complaining and more time working. We don't always need brilliance, we need diligence. You don't need another opportunity, you need humility in the opportunities that you already have. Your greatest attribute should be your dependability. If the boss asks you to do something, he must be able to go home and sleep soundly knowing it's going to get done. Not phone you every 5 minutes. Did you mess up this? Did you mess up that? Did you blow up this? Do you understand what I'm saying? Dependability. So how do we faithfully tend to our fig tree? Well, the first thing to do is don't speak back. You know, today we're living in a society where when you tell somebody to do something, they give you 10 reasons why you're stupid and it can't be done. That doesn't work that well. Today we also live in a society where people like to talk back to God. It's like God's word will say one thing, they'll be like, oh, but God is old-fashioned. How does this work? Oh, God must be crazy to expect me to do this and this and this. No, God just knows best. And if you honor Him and if you follow Him, your life goes somewhere. You might not always like what the boss says, but don't talk back, just do it. That gets you somewhere in life. Titus 2 verse 9 says, teach servants to be subject to their masters in everything, to try as hard as possible to please them and not to talk back to them. It's biblical. Stop complaining, stop whining, stop talking back. God will bless you. The next thing that you need to do is you must work hard and do your best. Proverbs 22 verse 29 says, do you see a man who excels at his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. When God sees that you excel, in other words, you give your best. If they want 20%, you give them 40%. If they want 80%, you give them 90%. Then God begins to notice you. It's like, wow, I like this Rian Oak. It's time for me to promote him. Or it could be Paolo. It's Rikus. Gustav. It could be Gustav. It could be Matthew. Or other Matthew. Or it could even be you. With a weird hairstyle. I'm just joking. But the fact of the matter is, there are certain things that from God's point of view causes you to stand out in the crowd. You want to stand out in the crowd? And remember something. You're not doing it for people. You're doing it for yourself and you're doing it for God. You will stand out. And when promotion comes, you'll get it. The third thing that's very important, and I want everybody to listen to this. I wish I had our whole government workers here today to hear this message. Because this is very applicable. Be friendly. Proverbs 18 verse 24 says, a man that has friends must show himself to be friendly. God expects us to be friendly. You know, it's ridiculous that sometimes you have a problem, you go to somebody to help you with your problem and they treat you like you're wasting their time. They might have a position, but they got nothing with God. I want to tell you that straight. And they don't please God. In fact, I can tell you now they irritate God. And their life is going to go nowhere. They'll be in that same position for the rest of their life. They'll go nowhere. But a friendly man will go somewhere. God expects us to be smart. He wants us to be wise. Proverbs 14 verse 35 says, a king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant incurs his wrath. In other words, when you need to do something, don't just go ahead and do it because you feel like it. First, think it through. Plan properly. Make wise decisions. And then probably the most important way to tend to your fig tree, be it your marriage, be it your boss, be it your work situation, be it at school, whatever. Do everything as if you are doing it for God. Look at your neighbor and say, do it for God. Young people, when you train, you're not doing it for your coach. You're doing it for God. Wherever you're working right now, it's not for your boss, it's for God. When you're cooking, it's not for your husband, it's for God. Amen. The people that you're dealing with is not for yourself. It's for God. And if we can grasp this concept, if we can understand this, I want to tell you something. You are going to go far in life. Where do I get that? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 7 says, servants, look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not as to men. Okay, it sounds a bit complicated. What I want you to take from this is, what you do, do it as unto God, not as unto men. Your boss might be happy with 50%. But I want to ask you the question, what will God be happy with? Well, God knows you're capable of much more. And God wants to see you give much more. And when you give much more, God's going to be like, wow, look at this one. He's beginning to stand out. It's time for me to bless him. And you know what happens then? Then God touches the heart of the boss, or the company, or the director, or whoever it might be. And suddenly your name keeps popping into the head. Gustav. So the next morning they sit around the table and they're busy discussing what's going on in the company. And they're saying, you know what? It's time for us to take one of our junior people and we need to elevate them, to raise them. And suddenly all three of the managers or directors or whatever pop up with one name. Gustav. Why? Because Gustav has shown God he's faithful. Don't you think for one second God can't control who goes where? If you believe God can't control who goes where, you don't know God. God can do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, how he wants, and he doesn't need your permission or your boss's permission. Your boss can go to sleep thinking, I'm going to promote Pete Pompis. But tomorrow when he speaks, the name coming out will be Paolo. And he'll think, where the hell did that come from? It's too late. He's promoted. That's God. If you put God's kingdom first, God will give you everything you need and everything you desire. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. And the preceding verses talk about needing things like clothes and a house and, you know, all of that type of stuff. What is important to God? Is it important to God what I wear? No, it's important to God who I am. It's important to God how I relate to him. And if that is right, if I'm seeking the kingdom of God, if I seek to honor God, God will honor me before men. I want to tell you something, and I'm saying this with all due respect. I have lived by faith for the last 20-something years. The last time I earned a salary was somewhere in 1990. I think it was about 95, 96, somewhere around there. When God called me to work for him, God didn't sit me down and say to me, okay, Rian, this is how it's going to work. This is your pension plan. This is your dental. This is your health. God didn't give me none of that. He just said, are you willing to follow me? I said, yes. He said, good. Close your business. Then I said to him, God, I actually have somebody that's interested in buying the business. God simply said to me, I never said sell it. I said, close it. I thought, ooh. Okay, God, I'm closing it. And then I had an overdraft. Interesting story. I had an overdraft of 10,000 rand. Which if you're running a business is not a problem because the money is there to pay it off. But when you close it, there's no more money coming in. So I closed the business. It's so amazing how it works. The same week that I closed the business, the bank manager phones me. Listen, we've gone through all of your stuff. We are revoking your overdraft. We need you to pay it off this week. I thought to myself, this can't be happening to me. I went into my room. I went on my knees. I prayed. I said, God, I have problems. God didn't answer me nothing. I left it there. I did my best not to stress and worry. When I stressed and worried, I took the Bible, I read something from the Bible, and I kept speaking to God. In that same week, somebody paid 10,000 rand into my account. Nobody knew. I didn't speak to nobody. Nobody knew that I needed 10,000 rand to cover my overdraft at the bank. When I went to the bank to try and find out where the money came from, even the bank couldn't answer my questions. How's that? God put it there. But he first wanted to see if I was going to be faithful. And from then on, God took care of me. When I need something, I have it. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the other things that you need, God will give it to you. In my life, I've needed many things, but I want to tell you something I've never been without. When I need something, God gives it to me. Sometimes I just think that, you know, I would like to have this and that and that. And then somewhere in the next couple of weeks or months, it just comes across my path. Because God knows what I want. And God knows what I need. And God blesses me. And sometimes people like to get jealous of what I have. You shouldn't be jealous of what I have. You should be faithful and show God that he can bless you too. Because what he does for me, he will do for you. I promise you. I promise you. God blesses us when we are faithful. When we put God first, God puts us first. If you delight in God, God will give you the desires of your heart. How many desires do you have in your heart right now? You want this and that and that and that. You want your children to be here and there and there. God knows the desires of your heart. But Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be happy about God. Be excited about God. Be excited about the things of God. Share with others. Don't be shy. And see how God will bless your life. If you walk uprightly, God will not withhold any good thing from you. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Did you hear that? God will not withhold any good thing from you if you begin to bless the heart of God. God will favor the righteous always. So commit your heart to God and live your life for him. Psalm 112 verse 1 to 3 says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears God, who finds great delight in God's commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. We want the wealth and the riches, but they are in the house of the one who fears the Lord and delights in his commands. Yes, you can find wealth and riches in the house of a thief too. But the thief is doomed to eternal separation from God. So don't worry about the thief. Worry about your own life. Amen? You want to go somewhere? You want to be blessed? You want to be prosperous? Sort your heart out. God will bless you. Now some of you might be sitting here thinking to yourself, man, this oak is talking about fig trees. I don't even own a fig tree. I'm not sure what he's talking about. I don't have a boss right now. I want to tell you something. There's one fig tree in all of our lives. Who can tell me who it is? John chapter 12 verse 26 says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. And my Father will honor the one who serves me. Who's talking? Jesus is the number one fig tree in your life. He says when you follow him, you become his servant. Therefore, you must tend to him, the fig tree. Bless him with your life. Put him first. Be committed to him. Be diligent to him. Honor him. Be faithful to him. And he says, my Father will always honor you. That's right. It is. Amen. Jesus gives us this promise. All who truly serve him will be honored by God the Father. Be diligent in your service to Christ. Be committed. Honor him and the Father of God. The Father God will honor you. And then I want to leave with you this final thought. This is not just about your boss and how you treat your boss or your wife or your husband or whatever. This is about faithfulness in every area of our life. We would all love for God to be faithful in blessing us, taking care of us, protecting us, providing for us, etc., etc. Psalm 18 verse 25 says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And to the blameless, you show yourself blameless. Did you see that? God wants to see faithfulness in you before He will show faithfulness to you. And that's where people have it all upside down. They first expect God to be faithful to them, and then they might consider being faithful to Him. It works the other way around. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. How many of you need a breakthrough? I want to tell you, God is faithful. How many of you need provision? I want to tell you, God is faithful. How many of you need a miracle? I want to tell you, God is faithful. The question is not, is God faithful? The question is, are you faithful? Hello? So if you want God to be faithful in your life, you better take a long, hard look at your own life. And if you see things that you need to change, areas where you are maybe not faithful, is not that difficult to change. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You're not dogs. I'm sure you're going to do fine. Luke chapter 16 verse 10 says, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the bigger things. Now hear this. Everyone wants big things. How many of you want to go far in life? Come, be honest. You want to go far. You want to be blessed. You want to reach big heights. We want to be successful in our careers. We want to be successful in our marriage. We want to be successful in our marriages, etc., etc. We want top positions. We want to drive better cars. We want to live in bigger houses. But there's a big but here. God's principle is simple. To get to the big things, your attitude in the little things will make all the difference. Did you hear that? God's attitude is a bit like this. If I can't see faithfulness in your life when it comes to the small little things, how on earth do you expect me to give you the big things? If you're constantly messing up the little things, you're going to mess up the big things. So change your attitude towards small things. And then we talk about big things. I want to sort of end off on an illustration. W.B. Reilly used to tell the story of a man who had been walking the streets of Philadelphia for a long time looking for work. One day he went to the office of a very well-known businessman named Gerard. When he asked Gerard for a job, he replied, "Yes, I do have work for you. Do you see that pile of bricks out there?" "Yes," replied the man. Gerard said to him, "I want you to take that pile of bricks and I want you to move it to the other side of the yard and stack them neatly." The man went out, he got a shovel, he got a wheelbarrow and whatever else he needed, and he started working, and he worked, and he worked, and he took load after load after load of bricks, and he moved it to the other side of the yard. By the time he finished, it was already late at night, but Gerard was still at the office. So he went to Gerard and he said, "Sir, I have finished my work." Gerard looked and he smiled, and he gave him his day's wage. The gentleman said, "Sir, would you maybe have more work for me?" Gerard said, "Yeah, sure, come back tomorrow." The next morning, as the man walked into the office, Gerard said, "Do you see that pile of bricks over there?" The man said, "Yes." He said, "Move it for me back to where you found it." The guy looked at that, but he kept quiet, pushed his wheelbarrow, and he started moving it. Late that night, he received his paycheck. The following morning, Gerard said, "Do you see that pile of bricks? Move it to the other side." This went on for roughly 2 weeks. So, Gerard was testing him to see whether he would be faithful. One morning he came for work and he was expecting to move the bricks from one side to the other. Instead, Gerard had a big smile on his face and he said to him, "This is what I want you to do. Go down to the docks, go down to this warehouse, there is an auction today. You are going to represent me and my company in the auction." The man went to the auction. On sale was a huge pile of sugar. He bid on the sugar, he won. And when the auctioneer came, he said, "I've never seen you. Who are you?" He says, "I'm so and so." He says, "Okay, who's going to be paying for all the sugar?" He said, "Mr. Gerard, I am his new agent." He had been hired to be the purchasing agent for this company. At any time, he could have turned around and said, "You must be stupid. You expect me to do this work?" But he didn't. This is a true story. Just like Mr. Gerard put the faithfulness of this man to the test, so sometimes God will put your faithfulness to the test. Maybe you at work in a position today that you don't like and you like to complain about it. Stop complaining and say thank you to God and do your best, because tomorrow God will promote you. Maybe in sports you're playing a position you don't want and you complain about it because you think you're better than that. Be quiet, thank God for it, and do your best, because tomorrow you'll be where God wants you to be. Maybe in life you don't like exactly where your life is right now, but be quiet, stop complaining, and thank God for your life. Because if God sees faithfulness, God will exalt you and change your circumstances. Everybody wants big things. God looks at small things. What is small for you is sometimes big for God. How do you speak to your parents? Let me help you to understand something. Your parents are to you what God is to the church. God put them there to raise you. God expects you to respect them. How do you speak to your manager at work? How do you treat your boss? If you treat them like rubbish, if you have a don't care attitude towards them, how far are you going to get with God? Because promotion ultimately doesn't come from the hand of man. It comes from God. You see, there's a lot of people in this world today that are stuck. They can't understand why they're stuck. This is why. God wants faithfulness, and it's not that difficult. But it is going to take a paradigm shift, a change of thinking, and a change in the way we do things. And God will bless you. Amen? Amen. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.